Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning for this Veterans Day, the 11th of November. Very nice to have you with us on a rainy Wednesday. Let me introduce the panel and catch up. It's good to be back here. WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Hey.
How are you?
Ho.
Hey ho.
Yes, right.
First, I thought you said old, and I go, what?
Oh, no, I'm also that.
I got the hey-ho thing.
Yeah, there you go. And then University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. So you were gone for a couple days, too.
Yes.
So it's nice to have you back.
Yes.
So that's great. And Rich Honan is with us. Rich Honan is a corporate attorney with Phillips Lytle. And it's very nice to have you with us.
Again, nice to be here. Good morning.
Wonderful to have you with us. It's... As I said, Wednesday and last night there was a GOP debate. We want to talk about this in some depth. Let me remind you that if you would like to join in on the discussion, and don't you really want to do that, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. I was in Atlanta for a couple days. I was flying back last night, and I got on a plane about 5:30, and I got to my home last night about 2:40.
Oh, boy.
So... What this means is that I, with $8, I purchased an app for Southwest Airlines that allowed me to watch the debate, the undercard debate, the and not only see it once, but really to see it twice.
Now, how does that work? You get an app from Southwest?
You give them $8, and then they allow you on the plane to view live television. So I was sitting there watching the debate last night in great depth. And so talk about a captive audience. So I don't know how in-depth you all watched it last night.
Not as much as that.
Undivided attention.
That's
or
right.
Hours now.
Right. I mean, other than peanut
staring
time,
intently at the screen.
That was pretty much all I was doing. But it was
so enlighten us. What'd you think?
Well, I don't know. We can talk about that. You know. I found it to be interesting. So here was the thing, right? We come in and we say, this was the, from what I understand, the questions were, how is Jeb Bush going to do? This was a moment for him to shine. And then on the other side, from all the pundits, seemed to think that the two candidates who had a great debate were Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz.
Don't the pundits always think that? They come out of every debate thinking that those two guys had a great debate.
Yeah, Rubio
do they have low
anointed
expectations, or do they why right?
Rubio was anointed from the very beginning too, and polls have not supported that, and certainly his early performance did not. They just discount all of the, you know, revelations, if you want to call it that. They love him.
So what did you think
of the whole debate?
Yeah.
Well, I hate to say this because I become one of those shallow people that I'm always criticizing. But this was very rich in policy and substantive and boring as all get out. It really was.
We made a big joke about the CNBC debate, about it being a free-for-all and very unformed and nobody got in. So now the candidates really got their way because it was a question and then really long answers. And not much in the way of fireworks.
Well, policy's not exciting. I mean, we all say we want to hear policy, and then when we hear it, we say let's have an argument instead.
Yeah, but it was also I don't even know how much it was policy than it was just talking points without any really with any real substance as to what how that was going to be defined.
The fact checking done. I'm sorry, I was just going to say the fact checking done afterward has been really interesting to read because they pulled apart the claims of like each one of the candidates and found some were basically true. You wouldn't believe it, but it's really true, and some were just completely wrong. I found that really interesting.
I wish they had an algorithm that could really provide you with real time fact checking.
Yeah,
you know, and. And that would be a real debate. To have somebody say something and then you'd be able
come
to pull up.
Come up on a screen. Yeah. It would pop up.
Yeah. Yeah, some have tried that in the past. But it is interesting to me that guys like Trump have decided, you know, he peaked with his outrageousness early. And now he knows, I think intuitively, I just think he knows that if he does too much clowning around or too much buffoonery, he's going to be taken not seriously. So he's decided, this is what I'm seeing from him, that he's going to moderate his stuff. He still has to attack. He still has to, you know, take the shots at these guys. But I think it's in his interest, he sees it as in his interest, to become more Eisenhower-like and less Trump-like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's on cruise control now, right? And he's just going to not make mistakes, not make outrageous statements, and just keep riding at the top until something changes.
Well, and stay with the things that put you on top. Yes. So you stay with the wall. You stay with immigration.
Absolutely.
You stay with
tough
foreign policy. You go against China, which he mentioned that at least 36 times last night. And even
once very ineffectively that the TPP was a way for China to come in the back door when it's not one of the signatories. It's not involved in it.
I think that was his point. The TPP puts his enclave around China, but then it provides
a way for them to
go around that.
Yeah.
Now, none of us can know because is it still secret?
No, it's all
okay.
Out.
Now you can actually read it. I have to read it.
It is, however, what did I say?
5,470 pages,
30 chapters, and so and there's groups that are looking at it, and you got to look at some things yourself because it's all coming out with a slant depending on who's doing the reading.
I love the fact that some of those guys are saying, "Yeah, no, as part of this, we're going to allow unions." The history. Of what unions are like in totalitarian countries is really quite something. So, yeah, we'll have unions.
I thought, by the way, at what point does Ben Carson, does Thorazine wear off?
he's a very calm dude.
Jeez.
He's a calm dude.
I mean,
spooky.
I don't get it.
That's me too. I don't get it. I don't see where the charisma is. I don't get what this is about. Who's for him, but he keeps coming out on top of those polls. Go figure. I can't. Anyway, Barbara wanted you to know, Rosemary. She said, Rosemary is incorrect. The debate was not in capital letters. Boring. It was a display of arrogance, ignorance, and lies, and kept me hollering at the TV. How boring is that on a Tuesday night?
I don't know. At some points, I think you had to struggle to stay with it.
I think there's possibly too many debates. I didn't think I'd say that I love watching them normally, but last night I was thinking this may be a little overkill.
Well, the other thing, too, is
I agree. And the format just is bad.
Yeah.
I really think you should say, look, I don't care how we divide it up. We're going to have four people.
Right.
And I don't care which four. Mm. I don't care if it's alphabetical. I don't care if it's 1 through 50.
Names in a hat, Rich. Just names out of a hat.
Seriously. And that way, let the candidates kind of self-check each other and,
real debate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the baby table, it's interesting that the baby debate, it's because, okay, so you have New Jersey and you have Louisiana sitting there talking to each other.
That was fun.
Well, that
but
was
they,
but
they feel they have to argue with each other as opposed to argue with the larger group. It's kind of crazy.
Well, I like
think
the
baby table actually gives you a great platform when you think about it.
Yeah.
It was interesting because I think they said this morning that most, as I mentioned, most candidates got between 11 and 12 minutes. Chris Christie in that debate got about 14, 15 minutes.
Right.
So he got a little more time, but
He also got a ton of media attention for being relegated.
To being demoted.
Demoted
right.
Except
the
for the
soccer
debate.
Right.
Well, we soccer
make,
fans call it relegated.
Didn't make the Pataki didn't even make the children's table. He's in the high chair now.
So is Lindsey Graham, yeah.
And the other thing, too, and it was a nice reminder that actually Bobby Jindal is still in the race. I sort of forgot that until I saw him on stage. I was like, that's a thing.
Isn't Lindsey Graham just a right-wing Bernie Sanders? Just like an angry guy without the accent, with different accent. He's just so angry all the time, you know, about different things. But I would love to have the two of them debate and just yell at each other.
Speaking of Bernie Sanders,
that'd be fun.
WWE
should be like arranging the debates. This today we have Trump versus
I found it interesting because it's always been about Hillary. When the Republicans are talking, it's this is what we're going to do versus Hillary, and Hillary's going to do this, and Hillary's going to do that, and we have to save the nation from Hillary. And when and last night in the debate, I was surprised by how many times they brought in Bernie Sanders' name. Chris Christie started it in the undercard debate by saying Hillary Clinton and her socialist friend, which was a term he used at least a half dozen times.
Pretty clever.
Bernie Sanders. And then most of the candidates last night referred at least at one point to that's what you're going to get with the Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and that ilk.
Stand that they've taken, and it's not completely incorrect, is that the process has pulled her to the left. And that's true. You see that in the pipeline. You see that in the TPP. Yeah. She has changed directions because of pressure from the
liberal
party.
Well, it's allegedly pulled her to the left.
Wing.
We don't know where she'll be if she takes office. Right now,
we don't know where she really is. Also, we don't know where her. I think her bona fides are really more to the left than it may appear.
If you take a look at the Clinton administration, Bill was the poobah. I think the assessment was he knew how to play ball with the big businesses and the big banks and everybody else.
Right, which is what you want in a president, someone who doesn't have to have a stand and doesn't move from it.
And
no
Clinton, Bill Clinton, I think it's unfair sometimes to compare the two because he was a really good politician and a really charismatic guy.
So is she.
Clinton, even while he was running for the nomination, and he's meeting with the Southern leadership people, and he actually said, "Listen, I love you. I'm one of you. But if we don't move more to the middle, we're not going to win." And he had the courage to actually say that during the nomination process.
He actually did things that were against the Democratic base. Welfare reform was not something that Republicans wanted. He did that as a way to deal with Republicans. That's what I mean. And yet
misspoke. You meant not something the Democrats want.
Right. It was a Republican plan.
Right.
He went, but it, you know, it worked as governance, as a way to bring parties together, and then he got other cooperation.
I agree with Rich. I think he's a much better politician than she is.
I also think she has changed. I've spoken to people. I haven't met all three of them. I've spoken to people, Republicans, conservatives, who have met Reagan, Bush 41, and Clinton. Okay, and I've asked them, you know, what do you think of the three of them? And they said, if the three of them were in a room, everybody would be talking to Clinton. Nobody would be talking to Reagan. Nobody would be talking to Bush 41.
He's absolutely like a rock star.
Right.
Yeah, all right, so we have 5 minutes, so I just want to go from the left-hand side of the stage to the right-hand side of the stage, mention a candidate, and let me know what you think of them. John Kasich, how did he do?
Didn't talk a lot. It didn't make a big impression, I thought.
I mean, immigration was the big one, of course.
I think Kasich is in a wonderful position to run in a general election, but not in the primary. I mean, the primaries are going to kill him because he's a fairly reasonable fellow.
Then there is Jeb Bush, who many people have said he had to have a huge debate last night. They said he had to put the exclamation point back into his slogan of Jeb, and that I believe it was Bill Maher on Friday night who said, unfortunately, it's a frowny face emoticon that has been replaced, the exclamation
point. Well, he had a good night, and he seemed extremely competent, but it wasn't a great night, which is what he really
But he's
needed.
Never going to have a great night.
Right.
That's an unrealistic expectation.
That was my question.
And his campaign should have been out there, if maybe they were, but his campaign should have and said, I don't need a great night. Okay, I just need people to actually hear me and not hear my brother and not hear my father and hear me and make their decision. But I think you have to manage those expectations better.
But
he's never going to have a great night.
Rich, he's not being served well by the debates.
No.
I mean, you know, if there were no debates, he'd be further ahead.
I think Alan is right. And I think it's a little too late. The management of this expectations and of how he was going to do should have started long ago, not the fourth debate.
Marco Rubio.
I think he did well. I think he did well you may not, and we're talking non-substantively, right? I mean,
but debate performance.
He's smiling. You know,
I said this last time I was on with you guys. I think he's going to be everybody's second or third choice, and he's going to be the closest to an establishment type candidate that that Republicans end up having.
Can he beat Hillary?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think so. But I do think he shows a lot of.
You don't think he gets more Hispanic vote than Hillary?
Not. It's
it depends
not,
on
not
who Hillary.
That
it
way.
Depends on who Hillary's vice presidential nominee is.
I know a lot of us think if Rubio had been Romney's vice president,
by us you
mean lawyers? By us, I mean those on the right. You know, that Rubio could have made a big difference in that election.
There was a moment last night between Rand Paul and Marco Rubio where Rand Paul went after Rubio on foreign policy.
Delayed the commercial and everything.
Yes. And that was stupid. Okay. So went on to the talking about defense spending. And Rand Paul went after him on that and said, how can you call yourself a conservative? Which I thought was interesting because what he could have gone after him about was the child credit, which certainly would not play as well with the Republican base. But instead, Rand Paul went after the defense spending, which I think
– Rand Paul is – he's playing to the – he's a purist. He's a purist. He's saying I'm a conservative. If that means spending less money, even for conservative things like the military, that's what I'm for.
All right, and we won't get through the whole list before the break, but Donald Trump
still there.
I thought he held his own.
He lied a lot. That whole Eisenhower dumped people out of the country too. That was debunked. The fact
was that fully. I didn't see that fully debunked. Actually,
yeah,
is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think anyone cares about that though. Right about that issue.
Truth? Yeah, probably.
Well, I don't know. I'm still waiting to keep my doctor and keep my plan. So,
all right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more. We'll read letters. We'll have other topics to discuss as well. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC. Morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Before we get to some letters, we were going through the panel from left to right, going through the group of candidates, and we ended with Donald Trump. And then there was Dr. Ben Carson. How did you think Dr. Carson did, the man who, by many accounts, is leading the polls?
Wow, what a great weekend it was with all the stories coming out about his past and the way he handled it. I mean, Andy Borowitz, the comedian, came out sounding like a news reporter when it was like, shocking, he has no stabbings in his past. Oh, my God, he didn't stab somebody when he said he did. Crazy stuff.
Well, I love what he said, you know, his comebacks. Some brilliant person, and I don't think it was him, came up with this thing about, oh, I don't mind when they ask me those questions. I just don't want them to lie. Perfect. That's a perfect answer.
But he, you know, when he had his first stumble weeks, yeah. You know, when he first yeah. announced, yeah. He didn't handle it very well, and then got better. And I'm wondering, and I wonder how he will respond to this, because initially I don't know that he handled it in a great way, but now he.
You were mentioning Andy Borowitz, but Trevor Noah of The Daily Show was on. Why'd you roll your eyes? Why'd you roll your eyes?
Because The Daily Show has become – The Daily Show is now the where everybody gets their news, and it's not news. What percentage of adults under the age
of
25 or something?
Reminding you that it is on a network called Comedy Central.
I know that.
I would note that the remark that Trevor Noah made was that when you look again at this whole thing about the stabbing, so as he was telling the story about the stabbing, that I didn't realize it was a family member.
Yeah.
That he
well,
that
he didn't say that at first.
He did not say that at first. That came out later. And then he missed them because he hit a belt buckle. So of course, as Trevor Noah said, of course you then take away the knife and you put a scalpel in his hand.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, I do think it's getting to be like comedy, but it also, you know, there's some creepy things I keep saying about Carr. Like, is he really running for president, or is he selling books? Is he selling the brand of Carson? He certainly now is
well, the
made
same thing said
much
about Trump.
Better known.
Well,
yeah,
Obama.
That's
true. But I think he's running for president.
Or Obama.
And I think you have to assume he's running for president.
Or Obama, who seemed to have gotten into the first campaign just to sell books and ends up beating Hillary.
I'm not going to give you that.
Look at the sales of his book from 2006.
And by the way, it's a great book.
I didn't love that book.
But Carson is something different. I mean, he's like not going to some campaign spots because he's selling books.
He's
signing
book
books. I mean, it's different than the other.
It is.
They
Carson,
all write books. I get that. And they all sell because they're in the public eye. But there's just something
really
different. Well,
Carson also
the Obama books sold.
Yeah, the Obama books sold.
After he became a public figure, though.
Okay.
Right. And then there's other things too, like why did he invent this whole past? I mean, he has a pretty remarkable.
I don't think there's an allegation that he invented that past.
Part of it is the West Point. Let's take the West Point thing. Yeah.
I think he should have said, look, I came away from that. I came away from that with the impression that, you know, I could go to West Point.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly what happened.
And if he had just said that, you know, but he wasn't.
He embellished.
You know, he wasn't, if he wasn't offered it, but he should have said, listen,
I came away. Somebody said, I can get you into West Point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what happened.
And they might have said, I can get you in there for free because everybody goes there for free. You know,
I would still say, that's not acceptable. That's the sort of thing that you guys all blast Hillary Clinton for like embroidering or faking the truth.
Oh,
that's
no.
not
think
the
I
real
think
story.
I do?
He didn't just say it like Brian Williams. No. He wrote it in a book.
We don't blast for embroidering. We blast people for, you know, material misrepresentations of material fact.
I think it's important that Rich is here because he gives no, really. Because he gives that other side.
Nobody in my life actually says that, so I'm pleased to actually hear that.
It's true because, you know, that is a realistic view of why he's getting away with it. He is getting away with the embellishing.
Because you're so forgiving. Yes.
I'm not forgiving. Well, anybody who knows me knows I'm not forgiving.
These conservative guys
I have
are.
A list of 1,000 people I'll never forgive. I just think it's real politic that's the way that it works.
It should be a fun drive premium. You just, like, read the list.
1,000 people.
Well, read the list.
It's very difficult because I have to take one off every time I put one on.
And then remember why.
I wouldn't want Carson as my doctor. There's just something really, you know, creepy about it.
I think his other problem is, and this is just an odd thing, his cadence is just so unsuited.
It's wild, right?
Did you ever read the Tom Wolfe book about the space program?
Yeah,
the right stuff.
Right, and he talked about Neil Armstrong.
Yes,
and that part where he says, you know, when you talk to Neil Armstrong, you ask him a question. And there's this kind of long delay, and you think you're about to repeat the question, and then they said, and then out comes these perfectly modulated sentences, you know, perfectly put together. And I think of that quote every time I listen to Carson.
That's very good. That's really true.
But it doesn't work. It sure doesn't work in a debate, and it really doesn't work in our society.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Rich. You're a fairly conservative guy. We love having you here. Now comes the
get ready.
Even now.
Now comes the
this
election.
Is right up there with all due respect.
now comes the election.
Yeah,
it's Hillary versus Carson.
Oh wow. It'd be hard for me to pull the lever for Hillary.
Right.
Be hard for me to do that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be? But it would also be hard.
What I personally don't like about I don't like anybody who makes religion that much a part of their political ethos. I don't like that.
Well, I'm presuming
that's non-conservative.
Yeah.
And so
I'm presuming, by the way, that's why he's leading. Because
of
that
stuff.
Perhaps in Iowa. I don't know.
In New Hampshire.
Yeah.
so then there is a Ted Cruz who reminded us last night that there's more words in the tax code than there is in the Bible.
Which is true, by the way.
It is true. That was fact-checked.
For a reason, there are more words in the tax code than in the Bible, because people are being protected. That's the way we write our taxes. Somebody gives some money, they get something in the tax code.
Well, he's going to do away with the IRS.
I don't know. I like the – yeah, that's – you know.
So did he have a Scott Walker – or, I'm sorry, a Rick Perry moment where he said
– God.
What?
The whole idea that you would say because he said – he'd get rid of the Department of Commerce twice. That this is how he's defined in a debate. Yeah, you know, my God, I'd be off the radio in 3 minutes.
No, but was it? Well, I mean, a lot of this isn't fair. I don't. You know, it was
right.
Howard Dean. You know, screaming. Was that fair? I mean, I don't know. But there are things that the torpedo campaigns. And finally, before we move on, is Rand Paul?
Yeah.
Nothing on Carly.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carly. I apologize. Okay, I wasn't looking at my picture anymore.
Do you want to do Rand Paul first?
Yeah,
Carly.
I mean, Rand Paul's basically there for your entertainment, right? I mean, he's not entertainment, but he's there. He's got a kind of purist view.
Yeah. A purist libertarian view.
I love that.
A true libertarian view, which is interesting, but he's not going to win.
Well, he isn't going to win, but he, you know, it's the same reason that Bernie Sanders is beloved to be in these debates.
Yeah, yeah.
That he brings in another point of view. And yeah. Rand Paul is, I shouldn't like him at all, and I find him very compelling sometimes. I thought he was totally right about drones, for example. He's right about transparency in government.
How about
those
going into
other positions are interesting to hear, and we should be reminded of
that. And going into other countries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. I just don't think, and he speaks well, and he really wants to get into the policy.
Man. Yeah, he does.
And he doesn't appear to have as much kind of personal venality. Would that be the right word? But it's just he won't muster enough interest, you know, and it's a shame.
And then Carly Fiorina, who had a couple good moments last night.
She's a fantastic debater. I got to say that. She's got lines. She's got that attitude. I think her business record is very checkered, and I wouldn't want her as president. But she's great in a debate.
Yeah, I think that I think the fact that she has a business record, I think, is obviously impressive to us. And there's been a big debate. There was a debate about Hewlett-Packard since the time she left.
Right.
Mark Hurd took over. And then the question was he really implementing some of her changes?
I was going to do that.
Yeah, right.
I have questions whether a business background suits you to be president of the United States.
Oddly, that's my question as well. I think having management experience and having actually dealt with people it does help. And I could probably point to some things that when you have people who have not had that, you know, it sets them back. But I wouldn't say that just because you're a business executive, you're prepared to be president.
We got a lot of letters. Let's get to as many as we can, and then we'll move on to some other topics after a break.
Okay. And Dr. S.J.G. Stephen says, balance, finally, thank you.
I think that was you.
You're the balance.
Okay. You're the balance.
The balance. Yeah, you're the balance. Yeah, yeah. You're the balance.
Wait till the next one.
And Barbara says, what about his comments about the paternity suit against him? Really odd. Now, I must have missed that because I was sleeping.
The Dr. Carson? Yeah. I read something about it, but I didn't know if it was actually...
Yeah, I can't speak to that.
I didn't know that it was actually...
A woman accused him and wanted a test, which, of course, could prove right away whether he was a father or not, and he refused. He stood on principle and didn't have a paternity test. Wow, admire him for that.
All right. And, something bad happened here, Joe. I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm having trouble running this device. Okay, so I'm going back in there. Now I'm going to do this thing. Okay, and now, and Polly, our friend Polly, says, true libertarian view? Well, yeah, if you're a man. Women, however, must still allow the government into their reproductive systems and bedrooms. What hypocrisy. That's from Paul.
I would not vote for Rand Paul. You're totally right about that.
I'm on record as saying it's really hard to don't know how they reconcile true conservative principles with the abortion debate.
And the abortion and the end of life, both of those seem to be intensely private and concerns between
kind of
person and medical. Right, right.
They want to win. That's how come they do it. Kate says, good morning from the Berkshires. A quick assessment of the performances last night. Rubio, glib, unctuous, and up for remedial math. Cruz, reliably creepy with an oops moment spicing things up. If only he and Rubio would exchange attendance records in the Senate. Sigh. Bush, frustrated politician with overtones of noblesse oblige on the side. Trump, curmudgeon, crabby when not in control of the situation, ignores any call for specifics and substance, but can't do it with a flair. Kasich, agree with Allen, but Moritz don't dictate the GOP candidate. Kasich lost track of the truth a few times. It's capable of working with others. Fiorina, working for her must have been a nightmare. Came across as a brittle bully. Paul, his temper was flaring last night. Scary guy. He thinks he's right, and that those who disagree with him are fools. The same could be said of Cruz. And finally, Carson, absolutely clueless. He's on his way. He's in way over his head, which is frightening. Indictment of the GOP base. Quick summary last night showed the difference between the outsiders and their opponents, even with puff questions. Maybe the moderators should be replaced with elementary school teachers from some rough neighborhoods.
And just a friendly reminder: 140 characters, which that went over. But
no,
but,
I'm sorry, Joe.
But
I read
once
it
we started
that,
good. Yeah, it was good.
I thought it was succinct. Plus, anytime you get unctuous and curmudgeon in the same...
That's true. As well as noblesse oblige.
Oh, yes. That was even better. Yes.
And then we heard from John, who said, I think it's really great Rich is on, too. I wish he was on more. I'm a Democratic socialist. But I want to hear the other side of the debate. I'll admit I tune into Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, et al. From time to time because I'm genuinely interested in hearing the other point of view. The problem is you have to sift through so much lying and vitriol. It's hard to get anything of substance. There's really no place to get legitimate conservative thinking. If there is such a thing, ha, ha, ha. Can you have more Rich Harhonen?
I want you, Rich.
Yeah, okay. Hard to believe he's a socialist.
Yes.
And
Democrat people have day jobs. Go ahead.
And Bill says, Rich's comment that people who watch The Daily Show think they're watching the news was insulting. I do listen to and watch serious news, and I know the difference. Unfortunately, conservatives don't seem to understand what satire looks like. Thanks, and that's from Bill M.
I think he actually does offer real news. At least John Stewart did. I don't know about Trevor Noah yet.
I always think he's closer to the real
news. See, we're edging. Joe, your response was, oh, it's comedy and Rosemary.
It is. It can be both. Why do you have to be one or the other?
I think it's what satire is.
And how about the Allen view, which is what they do? Is much more accurate news than what the news does.
Also,
sometimes it really is. Stephen Colbert on Citizens United was succinct, fact-based, and much more engaging than anything you heard in, say, the New York Times or on NBC.
And by the way, I think there's a great misnomer. And again, to Rosemary's point, I'm looking at the numbers of John Stewart and not Trevor Noah because I don't think they're
in yet.
But when you look to John Stewart's numbers, which were not terrifically high. He didn't do that well with students. If you bring,
in fact,
I don't know,
they're out now. No, if my students don't know.
My students don't. They don't know. They're not watching them. People
they don't watch news. Period.
People who are watching them are 35 right. year olds and up who are watching Jon Stewart and are watching the same with the Colbert Show.
True. Yeah.
Okay, well, we heard from James who said, did the other candidates attack Carson Ree? Quote, the ancient Israelis built the pyramids? However, I think Netanyahu agrees with Carson, and that's from Jim.
Yeah, Netanyahu says that Palestinians talked Hitler into killing Jews. Yeah, that's who I want back in my
history. He did apologize for that. Yeah, he did. And then Rose Rita says what Polly said, unquote, what Polly said.
About Rand Paul, yeah.
Yes, that's right. And then Bonnie says, if there ever were a poster man, not boy, too un-PC, I see, poster man, not boy, too un-PC, for an idiot savant, the good doctor is a shoo-in. His hands may be blessed, but otherwise, ... It's from Bonnie. And then I guess... and then Cody had sent us an early email saying he wants people there who will just immediately fact-check. In order to fact-check the candidates, how about we have experts on the economy,
how are you going
to
do
immigration,
that?
Healthcare, present at the debates, who will be able to immediately debunk the truth fabrication of the candidates. Also, Alan, I can see the top of your head. It must be a no-hat day. Okay, and there we are. So that's
okay.
What we got.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to we'll go into lightning round and get a. Do you have to go?
I do.
Okay, so you're going to leave.
You can hear more of Rich. You're so glad he's here. He can fill in my space.
So we'll see you tomorrow. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, the rumors are true. We'll Rosemary will be back, and we'll take a break, and we'll come back and have more topics after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Berry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics. BerryPriceArchitecture.com. Hudson Beach Glass Beacon, a contemporary glass and jewelry gallery representing 80 American artists. HudsonBeachGlass.com. And Hawthorne Valley Waldorf School, Harlemville, New York, announcing their annual Yuletide Fair, Saturday, December 5th, from 10 to 5, HawthorneValleySchool.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Rosemary had to leave early. She has a meeting she has to get to. So we have about 8 minutes left, and we'll try to get to as many topics as we can. And we begin with...
By the way, Rosemary on the way out told me to tell everybody she's changed her mind. She's really a Ben Carson fan.
Right. And now you could always lie when they
now
leave.
She's swerving on the road.
Yeah, she's swerving. Right. She's doing a U-turn now.
Governor Cuomo to raise minimum wage to $15 for all New York State employees. Dateline Albany. Alan.
Well, I think Cuomo is recognizing that some of his earlier forays against teachers and others didn't quite work out. And that now he's going to sort of hew to a traditional Democratic winning, if you want to call it liberal, Hubert Humphrey sort of line, I'm with the unions. The unions have always supported me. I'll support the unions, and I'll give them their $15 an hour salary raise, particularly within the government, which I can do administratively, which he's doing, and also calling for it statewide. What does he lose? There'll be business owners, Rich will answer this, who will say, I can't stay in business if I have to pay everybody $15 an hour. But, you know, there is a minimum way in which we have to pay our people in this country.
Yeah, and I think, and this was just for state workers.
Yes.
It's funny. I wanted to ask
you. No, actually, he's for the $15.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But what he took the executive action only.
He may actually get this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, only for state workers. Yeah. I actually had it's good we have a lot of journalism professors here, but I had a journalism question about at least a story I read the New York Times story. So it's so for this group of workers, and they gave a lot of numbers. So it's only going to cost only $20 million out of a $150 billion budget, and it affects 10,000 people. And I was trying to do the math, but none of the stories I read said what is it now. What, so if it's going to $15, what are these people? What's the lowest that a state worker per hour is making now? I mean, is this a doubling? Is this a because I tried to do the math at, all right, if there's 10,000 people and they're getting raises of 20 million, and to me it came out to like a dollar an hour between now and 2021. But isn't that a big fact to be missing from that story?
No, I think it's a very good point.
Yeah, but I think even at the numbers that we have, it really has a minimal economic effect, and he gets to make a big splash with it. I will say, as an employer, as whether you want to call me an employer, a conservative, a business owner, it's hard to compete with New York State on the hiring levels, not so much at the lawyer level, but certainly at the support staff level, and at those salary
slots.
You mean
the support staff people who do all the work in the law firm?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the support staff people in law firms are the backbone of the law firm, and it's difficult for private companies already to compete with the state because they're working 36 hours or whatever it is, and,
sure.
and the benefits. So that's difficult.
We lose a lot of people over the years. We've lost not a lot, some, as we say up in Albany, going over to the state.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it seems like more of a splashy thing than an actual economic impact thing.
He's right. Playing it safe. Rich, yeah. The man is playing it safe.
How did he lose the liberals?
Well, I think what happened is he made a series of assessments that turned out to be bad choices. Our little grandson is now 19 months old, and his mother says to him, good choice, as opposed to bad choice when, he does something. He made some bad choices. I mean, I think he made the assessment he would get everybody. He could step on the teachers, and he would win that way.
Right.
Turned out he couldn't, and he got a million less votes, most of them, I think, teachers, their families, and people who respect education during that time. So now he is, as I say, hewing to a absolute Hubert Humphrey type of, Democratic safe line. And he's. I think you're going to see his polls going up.
Do you think is his problem kind of personality based as well?
Yeah, it is.
Is that what it is?
Well, I think his problem is personality based.
Okay.
Look, a major book by Schneerson basically calls him out for being a bully. Chris Gibson was on here the other day and said, I'm running against him because he's a bully. That comes across to people.
Right.
And I think he's moderating it. I don't know what happened, but the other day we had a call from his press office saying he wanted to be on the Capital Connection, which he has eschewed during this time. And we said, oh, great. Right. Well, it'll be this week or next week. We never heard from him again.
Right.
Maybe you heard Chris Gibson on the air that day.
Chris Gibson, who it comes across well. That'll be an interesting race.
Yeah, well, he'll be a major potential candidate. He and the guy from Westchester. And the real question, Astorino, and the question is, can Chris get to be known, who is really liked around here? Can he get to be known by a lot of people?
We're just about out of time. I want to remind you, you can join our conversation, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, and we'd love to hear from you this morning. We'll be back tomorrow with more conversation. Rich, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here. Alan, thank you.
No, thank you, Joe.
Roundtable@wamc.org. We will be back after this short break.